read tonight here in the book of 1 Samuel. And I really didn't have a title until just a minute or two ago. And I believe I'll just title it and give it a title. And, those have preached, maybe you've never had this, but you got a thought, but you don't know how you're going to go with it. You ever got there? You know that it was right, but just how to get to where you're trying to get to in the end. Amen. Dad has always told me many years ago when I first even started preaching that they used to teach in speaking. He'd spoke several times at different meetings and such. He said you can always have an opening statement and have an ending statement, then the rest. Kind of nice to have something in the middle too, but if you got an idea to open up with and to end with, then the rest of it will just kind of fill in. And we'll see. Amen. I'll pray the Lord to help us. I don't want to get out of this wheel, but I really feel like we preach. And I asked Brother Robert the other night. I told him, I said, the way my throat feels, I may need you to preach Sunday night, especially after Sunday morning. And I said, we'll see. And if the Lord, if I feel all right Sunday morning, I'm able to go, then I'll just plan on preaching. And I said, if you come up with something, someplace else to preach, go ahead. But I said, if you don't care, just have something ready. And so, as I started Sunday morning, Sister Ruby, I thought this morning I was going to have a lot of trouble. Couldn't get no liquid. And mine started watering, y'all. And you see me at first, and I'm beginning to, eyes begin to water. It ain't tears a lot of times, it's just because I ain't got no liquid there in my throat. And if you ever got there, maybe you never been in that position. But that's the way it was this morning. But throughout the message, the Lord seemed to help us. And I felt pretty good. And I told him afterwards that I felt like that I believe I could do it. So I appreciate being ready, though. Amen. Never know. I want to go on to look at 1 Samuel chapter 4. First Samuel chapter 4, and this is really a familiar scripture to most Bible readers, and I feel like the task maybe before us may be more than we can do. I don't know. The Lord's help, we'll do our best. 1 Samuel chapter 4, and I'd like to read, I think, and start with verse 12. We're going to read to the end of the chapter. In verse 12, the Bible says, "And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head." Now, the Philistines and the Israelites had been in battle. And the children of Israel had sent for the Ark of God. And I think most know the story. But he sent for the Ark of God and had it, they wanted it brought to the camp where they were in battle. And so this is where we're at. It's been brought to battle. Children of Israel, they've shouted and were excited because it was there. And the Philistines have went in and went on to battle against them. And it says they fought and Israel was smitten and they fled every man to his tent. And it was a very great slaughter. Now, I think that's important. And there was a very great slaughter for their fellow of Israel, 30,000 footmen. All right. Amen. 30,000 footmen. That's the first time I've caught this and I'll bring it out maybe a little bit. I'll just go ahead now. I may forget it. There fell 30,000 footmen. But when David went back after the ark of God. He took 30,000 with him. Amen. Never had caught that before. May not mean much. Kind of significant, you just can't tell. Anyway, pretty neat. 30,000 footmen. The ark of God was taken. Two sons of Eli, Hophni, Phinehas, were slain. That's where we're at. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army. And he came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching. For his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli had heard the noise of the crying, he said, what meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now, here in the next verse, now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. He could not see that the man had put earth upon his head, his clothes was rent. He couldn't see the distress of the people. He just heard, amen, by his ears, he heard the voice and the crying. And so he came and asked him, what meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? Amen. The people in that day realized that when somebody would go to the place, they'd rent their clothes, and they'd cover themselves with ashes, put dirt upon their head, amen, earth upon their body. They knew that something terrible had happened. Something awful had taken place now. And he said, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. Now it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off of the seat backwards by the side of the gate. And his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, God, we ask you, Jesus, in the holy name, in your holy name tonight, that you would look down upon us here. God, I pray that you would forgive us of any sin tonight, of any wrongdoing. Cleanse us and allow us to break the bread of life cleanly tonight. Sanctify us. God, I pray that this word that may go forth will pierce our hearts, touch our souls, encourage us, speak to us. God, we give you the glory and the honor tonight. Anoint us with the sweet Holy Ghost in your name. In your name. Amen. I think where I want to title this is God, give us the glory again. God, give us the glory again. Amen. Here tonight, we laid out the beginning where Israel and the Philistines were in battle. And the Bible tells us that the Philistines had won, and there was a very great slaughter. Now, please keep that in mind. I think we'll come back to that. The Lord helps us. There was a great slaughter, and the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And it was a day that was remembered throughout the years of Israel. Amen. It was something that was marked, memorialized. And this ark that it speaks about here, the ark of God, it was probably the most precious piece of furniture within the house, within the tabernacle, within the temple of God. God had laid out the plans for the tabernacle. He'd laid out the plans of the holy place, the holiest of holies, how it was to be done. But He also took this piece of furniture, and He gave them the instructions of how that it needed to be done, dimension by dimension, link by link, height. Amen. How it was to be covered, and the cherubims that were to be built upon each end. I thought that was neat in itself, that they would overlook the mercy seat that was placed upon the ark of God. And today the Bible tells us that the angels are around the throne of God praising Him. Amen. Crying, holy, holy, holy. What a resemblance or symbolization. Amen. The shadow of things that are to come. But here tonight, this Ark of the Covenant, what a precious, precious piece of furniture. And I don't want to belittle it, but then again, I don't want to build it up either. Amen. Because the Israelites themselves, had taken this. Amen. Instead of turning to God and trusting in God, they brought the ark, this piece of furniture itself, thinking that if they brought that into the battle, that they would gain the victory. It would bring the power of God and God's presence, amen, in a difficult time in their history. Amen. And so they had used it or misused the ark of God. It was the symbolization of God's glory, of God's presence. Amen. It rested within the holiest of holies. And God Himself would descend upon the mercy seat and the offerings and sacrifices that were given. Amen. For the sins of the people, God would forgive them and cleanse them. Amen. And wash them away for another year. This was an important place this morning or tonight. Amen. It was an important place. Amen. Christ, when He came, the veil was rent in twain. And therefore, you and I could go to the Father ourselves. But brethren, this time, amen, the priest came in one time a year to walk in the midst of the holiest of holies. And there they would bring an offering for the sins of the people. And it was such a precious place and an important place to God that if the priest came in with sin in his own life, amen, and went about things in the wrong way, that he himself could be slain just like that. Therefore, they put the bells upon the bottom of his robe. And when as long as they could hear the bells, they knew that everything was all right. Amen. But when those bells stopped jingling and ringing, then they knew that this offering had not been accepted. And my friend, this was a very important place, amen, in God's diagram for men in that hour. Amen. So you see tonight that here, amen, this Ark of the Covenant, it was certainly a precious piece of furniture, yes. Amen. But it was not to be abused or used in the wrong way. And so when they brought it out, and it was there before the people, and they shouted with glory and thought that everything would be fine, still yet they lost the battle. But in not just losing the battle, 30,000 men was slaughtered. Amen. The sons of the priest, Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, amen, were slain as well. They were not doing right in the first place, but the fact is, he lost his two sons. Amen. The ark of God, this precious, precious piece, amen, was removed. All of the ingredients, all the things that were within, they were there for a purpose. They did not just use it for a storage box. They did not just use it, amen, just for something to look at. But it was important in God's eyes. Amen. And so therefore, when the ark of God was taken, and the word came back to the town, and they began to cry, amen, there were folks in that hour who really believed, amen, and knew just how precious the tabernacle and the presence of God was in that day. They would take time, go up to the temple. Amen. The Bible tells about a woman by the name of Hannah, who came and stood at the gate, amen, the doors, and was crying and weeping because she didn't have a son. Amen. And there, my friend, God answered her prayer. God gave her a child, and she brought it and dedicated to God. Amen. But there was people in that day that knew what it was like to see the presence of God ascend upon that tabernacle and see the glory of God begin to fill the temple. Amen. The smoke, amen, whatever was resembled there would come out of the doors. And they knew that God was meeting, amen, and giving direction and commandments to Moses and those in that hour. It was precious, amen, to them in that day. We have got to keep that in mind. Amen. For in this hour that you and I live, just how much more precious should the presence of God be? We have done sung the songs. We have done talked about His coming back. I picked up a book yesterday, and it talked about the glorious gospel. Amen. And this, just looking through different parts of it, and I went to where this man wrote about the Holy Ghost. And that man wrote this and made this statement. Amen. That when in that day, when the New Testament church was just being started, that God sent down the Holy Ghost. Amen. It moved in those men's hearts and lives. And the only other time that there was ever an incident such as that was whenever he came to Cornelius' house, just to let them know that the Gentiles had been accepted in this thing as well. But he went on and he said, amen, that we do not need the experience, amen, just like they had or what they had, because we don't have the work to do that they did in starting the church. I about threw the book away, but I'm sure there's some other nuggets in there. I'll look through it. But we don't need that today. Listen to me. We live in an hour, the coming of the Lord. I mean, it's just a few years away. Maybe not even that. Amen. Who knows? Amen. But I'm telling you something tonight, that in His return and in His coming back, we have a field that's wide unto harvest. Amen. There are souls that are going to go to hell, and you and I need all of the power that we can get with God and from God that there is. Amen. We need to have a fresh move of God, a fresh glory to fill our souls. They had lost the ark. There was wailing. There was mourning. There was tears. Amen. There was people upset. There was people that were distraught. And even Eli himself, when he got the word, he fell off backwards from the place he was sitting. Amen. And he was killed. His neck was broke. Amen. And he died. Amen. And the first thing it said, and it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that he fell from off the seat. Backwards. Amen. How many tonight, amen, have missed the glory and the presence of God enough? Amen. How many have sat in churches and in services without the power and the moving of God and walked out unstirred, walked out, amen, without a worry or fear in their heart of where was God tonight?
Amen. That's right.
But his daughter-in-law, who was expecting a child and was very near to be delivered, that when the tidings was brought to her, and notice the scriptures, that the first thing that the ark of God was taken. Amen. The first word here. Now, I don't believe these words are just wrote in here for just to be, but they're there for a purpose. She heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead. She bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And she brought forth a son, and they named the child Ichabod. Amen. They named the child Ichabod, saying that the glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband, and the glory is departed from Israel. Amen. Here was a child that was walk through, amen, the rest of his life. And every time that somebody would see him walking down the street, knowing that his name was Ichabod, it was a constant reminder, amen, of the foolishness of individuals in that hour that abused the glory of God. A constant reminder, amen, of why the glory of God was not where it should have been. A constant reminder, amen, that the ark of God was not in its place. Brother and sister, tonight, amen, we live in an hour, amen, that if we don't regard where God's presence, amen, where God's glory today needs to be, amen, we must realize He needs to be reverenced. Amen. When I came to this church, and the first time I ever preached, amen, and trying out for the church, I preached, amen, from very similar to this, amen, but how that we need to put, amen, the presence of God, the power of God, the glory of God in its rightful place. Amen. That's what we must do. Hallelujah. I was reading over here tonight in Deuteronomy, chapter number 28. Now, I don't have the time to read this whole chapter. Amen. 60 some odd. Well, let me get to you here in the big beginning, and then we'll skip over. But in the first chapter, or verse of chapter 28, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all of these blessings shall come on thee." Now listen here, would you? "And all of these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. And if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee and thy storehouses, and all that thou settest thine hand unto. And He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto Himself, as He has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in His ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure, the heavens to give the rain unto thy land in its season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Amen. These were the blessings that God was going to pour out the good treasure, amen, upon His people as long as they walked in the statutes that God had provided for them, amen, in that day. But brother and sister, I want you to go a little further now. Now verse 15 says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do His commandments and His statutes which I command thee this day, that all of these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." Now let's I'm going to read these cursings to you. "Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. And the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until He has consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it." Amen. Now there's cursings. But I want to go over here a little further tonight. And over in verse 58. Amen. You can read through all of that. And you can see what will come. Amen. To those people if they did not obey what God had set before them. But over here in verse 58 now. 58, I believe, is where I want to go to. "If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuances, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuances. Moreover, He will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And ye shall be left few now." Amen. Remember the covenant God made with Abraham. "And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven. Amen, for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good, amen, to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you, and to bring you to naught. And ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all the people, from one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shalt the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and a failing of eyes, and a sorrow of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it was evening. At evening thou shalt say, would God it was morning. For the fear of thine heart, wherefore, wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see, and the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again." Amen. Oh my. "And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships by the way whereof I spake unto thee, and thou shalt see it no more again." And
than 200 years ago plus. Amen. God had blessed this country. God had set it right. Amen. The Puritans came in. Amen. Teaching right. Giving thanks to God. And living before Him. Amen. But through the years. Amen. Now less than 100 years ago, brother and sister, we have seen sin begin to creep in. And the ease of sin to creep in. And what used to be common 200 years ago, 100 years ago, amen, now is uncommon. Now, today, amen, if you live like you did back then, today you'd be considered an oddball. Today you'd be considered out of the way. Amen. But brother and sister, tonight, amen, we have watched this country. Amen. It has gone downhill. We have looked at people who have taken in homosexuality. Amen. And looked at it. Amen. One church, one denomination has taken them and made them priests. Amen. Ordained them to be preachers within their church. Amen. That church will not be blessed, friend. That church, amen, that denomination will not be blessed. But brother and sister, just as this country has brought it in and allowed it, we've got a disease now, amen, called AIDS. Amen, brother and sister. I mean, it's affecting folks. It's destroying lives. Listen here. Just the other day, had a man who was shot over in St. Louis, was shot, killed. When they got to going through the, after he was dead, you know how they go, they found that he had the AIDS virus. Had AIDS. Got to finding out that when that man's name got out, who it was, that there was 9 women at least, amen, had come forth who said that they had had, amen, a relationship with this man. Amen. 3 of them had had his baby, and there was probably more that hadn't come forth, but 3 of them had had his child. All nine of them women have AIDS. All 9 of them. Because of their promiscuity. Because of their unfaithfulness. Amen. Because they wanted to indulge in sin. Amen. Getting past the morality of God. Amen. Getting past the teaching of God. 9 of them, all 9, had AIDS. One of them, amen, had confessed to having at least 50 partners. 50 men partners since then, and they was trying to round them up to see if they had the virus AIDS. Oh, I don't know about you, that may not bother you at all, but I'm telling you, amen, it is just a sign of where the sin sick, amen, of this country has led us to. Amen. It's going to take us farther, praise God. I'm telling you this morning or tonight. Amen. It's dark out there, Brother Todd. It's nighttime. Amen. I'm telling you tonight that the church, amen, had better get back to where God established it and set it up and put it on its feet and go back to living, amen, like it was taught and preached years ago, or we'll find ourselves just like these right here. Amen. The cursings of God placed on our lives. When will we wake up? Amen. How many of our seed will have to go through it because we will not wake up? How many diseases, how many problems will we have to face before we wake up? Brother and sister, we need a fresh movement of the glory of God. We need a reverence and find it. Amen. Do what it takes to get it back in the house. How many churches do you know that if you could see with spiritual eyes, you'd see above the doorway Ichabod? How many people do you know tonight sitting in the church house? Those who are not in the church house, amen, have not had a move of God upon them, amen, in weeks, in months, in years, amen, haven't spoken tongues, amen, supposed to have the Holy Ghost, claim to have the Holy Ghost, tell us they got the Holy Ghost, amen, but they do not have any evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue. Brother and sister, we need to get to a place. Are you not fearing the fact that we need the presence of God, the glory of God returned? How many will have to go to hell? How many will have to go to hell because we don't have enough power to blow the fuzz off a peach? We'll argue the scriptures. We'll take the words. We'll put it where we want it to be. Make it to how we want it to be. Amen. Instead of just taking it plain like it says, praise God. I realize that those laws in the times of Deuteronomy, amen, they were laws that you and I can't always live by today because Christ came and fulfilled the law. But there are still morality there. There are still teachings there that will take the church to a higher realm. There's teachings there that will guide us to a closer walk with God. Amen. To have the power of God. Amen. What will it take before we get the presence and the glory of God return back in our lives? How many denominations has to be an example to us? Early 1900s, when Pentecost fell in this country, early 1900s, when Pentecost came, out in the old hills of eastern Kentucky, North Carolina. I mean, when it first came, them old Methodist folks, them old Wesleyan Methodist folks, amen, they're different now. Wesleyan Methodist, they're different than the regular old Methodists we got. But when it came and the power of God was moving, brother, they didn't have to struggle through a service. They prayed, amen, and God touched folks. They prayed, and God moved. It began to spread to Azusa Street. It began to spread across the country, amen, from the west to the east. When the old Wesleyan Methodists got hung up on some things, here come the Church of God, folks. That's where it was started and founded, right there. Off of the old teaching of the Wesleyan Church. Amen. The Puritans. Church of God took it. Amen. They carried it. They carried the banner high. Amen. Pentecost began to spread, brother and sister denomination. I mean, I'm telling you tonight, God was moving. People come in the church houses. Amen. One lady had an accident, was paralyzed from the neck down. Walked in the service the first night, and that preacher went over and laid his hands on her. Amen. And praise God, she got up and had every limb, every finger, all of her toes. Amen. Everything that had quit moving before, amen, it was moving. You know why? Because they believed in God and the power of God, and they lived where the Bible taught us to live. America. I mean, it was blossoming. It was blooming. I mean, it was being blessed. Amen. People began to hear across in England. Amen. Read some of them writers when they heard that God was blessing America. And how many of them wanted to come over and see what was going on. Look at the George Whitfield. Amen. One of the greatest revivalist preachers of all time. Amen. To see people saved and touched. Amen. A penny and the rest of them, brother, I'm telling you. Amen. They knew what it was like to have the glory of God. But if they they stepped in our churches today, if they stepped in our churches today, you know what they'd do? They'd write it down, and they'd go to the front of the door, right where people walked in, and they'd lay it right up there, and they'd say, Ichabod. Ichabod. Where is it? They'd look around. We used to have church, and people were saved. People were healed. We used to see this and that. Amen. I'm telling you, God hadn't changed. God hadn't changed. What He put for those folks years ago, God still has it to give today. It's where us have changed. We have accepted. We have allowed it in. We're afraid, so afraid, amen, of problems in the church. I'm telling you something. I feel this tonight, that we must see the glory of God returned. We must get to the place and get it where it needs to be, that God can bless the church again. But it's got to start in a hunger in our hearts for God. I mean, it's got to start here, church. Them girls singing that song about worshiping the Lord. Shake off them heavy bands. It's got to start in here. It don't start here. It's useless. Preaching's in vain. Souls. We need life. We need the blood of God. I'm telling you something. David come in. King Saul had been killed. One of the first official acts of David in his heart was to go and fetch home, amen, the Ark of God. One of his first desires, 20 years, it was out. 20 years they were without it. 20 years. Will we be satisfied that long? Will we be satisfied? Will we accept anything that comes along? Will we allow any teaching, any little wind that satisfies the flesh and relieves us, amen, of that reasonable service tonight, amen, that's already been testified. If we'll accept it, that will help to relieve our conscience of our reasonable service. Or will we allow, oh God help me. He had a great desire. David made a lot of mistakes. Sure did. David paid for it as well. He paid for it. But they went and they built them a new cart. Y'all know the story. They built them a new cart. Went after the Ark of God. Placed it on the new cart. The two sons of Obadiah, I think it was driving it. 30,000 footmen. It all looked good. They had the songs. Read it. They had the harps. They had had the music. They had the singing. They had those men, amen, soldiers for God. They had it. It looked good. David was happy. David was excited. They was bringing back this ark. They was bringing back the glory of God. Going to put it back in the place it was supposed to be at. But along the way, a disaster came forth. The oxen shook the cart. Uzzah thought it was going to fall. He reached out to settle it down. And when he did, God struck him. Struck him dead. David was distraught. He was upset. Why, God? Why? We were trying to bring back the glory of God. We was trying to get it back where it's supposed to be. We've been too long without it, God. We wanted to get it home. And here we're trying to do all of this, and yet you take and strike somebody dead who really is trying to do a service for you. How many in the church have we seen that happen? Look like trying to do a service for God in our mind's eye. We were trying to do something. Thought we was. Amen. In our mind's eye, it looked like those around us was really service being a service as well. But in the reality, got out of the will of God. Disobeyed. Amen. Amen. Didn't leave things alone when they should have. David went home and he prayed. He prayed. Sought God. 3 months. 3 months. He didn't get the answer right off. He didn't get the answer right off. That's what we want. God, give us an answer right now. Right now. I mean, speak to me now. Tell me what I need to do right now. 3 months it went by. 3 months. You know, in those 3 months' time, it wasn't God trying to answer the prayer. He was trying to get David out of the way. He was trying to get David out of the way. David done had his mind set. David done had his heart set. He done figured out how it had to be done. He needed to get out of the way so that God could show him. That's the reason why a lot of us are in the physical, spiritual state that we're in. It's because God's trying to show us and wake us up and tell us, amen, that we've got our minds so set on how things ought to be that we cannot get out of the way. Come on. What a slaughter. Listen now. Whether it's one man or 30,000, what a slaughter. Christ came. If it had just been one soul that had gotten saved, it had been worth it. You hear me? 30,000 or 1,000, what a slaughter that had to take place because of foolishness. Unwilling to hear, unwilling to live, unwilling to do. David got his eyes open. He finally seen what God was trying to show him. He said, I'm sorry, Lord. He got rid of the new cart. He got rid of the new ideas. Looks like what would be good for America 100 years ago would be good for America now. Looks like the lives of John Wesley,
would be good for us now as it was for them. But we've put on a new cart. We've got new ways. We got new voices of the Spirit we listen to. We're getting new direction now. We're hearing new revelations all the time. God's really speaking in this hour. New. Let's get rid of the old hymns and let's put up, amen, songs in the projector, little choruses now. Let's sing the praises. Let's go new with this. Let's get a new word of God. Let's try a new hairdo. Let's try a new song. Let's try a new voice. Oh, but Brother Jeff, we live in an hour now. People are different. People, they're with this and they got that. They're facing. Return the glory.
Amen.
David went back. He got the cart the way it was supposed to be. He put the ark back on the cart. They loaded her up. Got the priest in position. Amen. They had a sanctifying service before they went after the cart. They got the house in order. They got things straightened out. They loaded her up. They took 6 paces, I think it was. And they offered sacrifices. They worshiped God. Took some more. Another 6-7 paces. Worship God. David this time. Amen. He was not just rejoicing. Amen. But brother, he had an experience. He knew that God had showed him the right way. And he could rejoice. Amen. From a heart that was true and pure. Amen. From an experience with God. And therefore he could dance with all of his might. Amen. Not caring how anybody else felt. What everybody else said. Amen. But he danced before the presence of the Lord. Listen now. Did you hear that? Did you hear it? The glory of the Lord was gone. It was out. Amen. But in His presence, he danced before God. Brother and sister tonight, when they got it home, amen, they took care that they got it back where it needed to be, in its rightful place. And God blessed. God blessed. God blessed. Amen. We need the blessings of God. But what will it take? 1997, in an awful, sinful world, we need to get back to God and let the presence come once again. God's presence is needed today. I didn't think I'd preach very long. I'll close. Oh God, give us the glory of the Lord. Give us a fresh, up-to-date experience. When we testify, it's here. It's here. You hear me? It's here. Not voice, not lip service, not cute words, but it's right here. Right here. Right here. When we sing songs, we lead songs, we sing specials, it's here. It's here. Up to date. Fresh. Anointing.
If you have not received and prayed through the baptism and spoke in tongues by the utterance of the Spirit of God, the church needs to pray. If you choose to allow the glory of God to depart from your life, you cannot stand tonight before God and tell Him that you were not told what it would take to have the presence of God restored in this hour. Let's stand. I'm sorry for being long. I don't mean to be hard. I really don't. We got a brother, you know, precious soul. Has carried a disease for I don't know how many years. But it's not greater than God. It's not greater than God. We got young men been seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Still not impossible for God to pour it out. We got spouses, Brother Bobby, who we've been praying for. Sister Dolores, who we've been praying for. Still not unable for God to save. Hear me, church. Thirteen plus years, you all have been a body. Some have come, some have gone. For 13 years, you've carried a torch right here in this little community. Trying to let folks know. Got the lights burning. Paid the utility bills. Kept the insurance paid up. Kept pastors in and out. Amen. Blessed them. Bought a parsonage. Built on. Made it nice. Been doing work in the church. Got Sunday school fellowship hall. I mean, for 13 years, been doing a work, trying to get something done for God, trying to accomplish. But oh, let me tell you, if the glory of God departs from any of us, we're one soul weaker than we was yesterday. One part of the prayer, the chain is gone. Oh God, there's much more that needs to be accomplished. So much more to be done in such a short period of time. We cannot do it by ourselves. I'm closing. We cannot do it in ourselves. But oh God, stir up that within us that we would cry and do whatever it takes that the glory of God would return. Lift your hands tonight. Thank God, would you? Church, let's come into the altars tonight. Let's come into the altars tonight.